gets to see everybody out this morning. It's wonderful to come out and study God's Word. We want to invite you and encourage you to open up your Bibles and follow along as we go throughout the lesson. Make sure that the truth is being taught as we go throughout it, and that if there's any questions as we go through the lesson, that please bring it to our attention. We have to study with you further, look into God's Word, and make sure the truth is being taught. You all have a chance to make sure we get to heaven. Every day as we go through our lives, we are involved with many people. We are involved with our neighbors, family, friends, school. We go to school with a bunch of other kids, or go to work, co-workers. And so we're continuously dealing with other people in our lives. And due to that, we are influenced by other people in our lives. And so sometimes we get caught up and dealing with the peer pressure that comes from dealing with other people and their desires and what they like to do, the way they live their lives. And with that, they end up having some pressure on ourselves. And so they end up causing many to stumble and fall into temptation just because of the pressure that they put on us. Pressure we simply feel. Sometimes people don't realize that they're putting peer pressure on us, but it's just the influence that is continuously around us, and the natural desire for us to want to be liked, want to be like others, want to get along with others, and not cause any struggles between anyone, and so therefore we start to act like them. We start to do the same things, and we may not live the life that we should be when we're around others because wants to just get along. So that's what I want to talk about this morning, talk about peer pressure, and make sure that we're prepared to overcome it. Of course, just to start off with, and we're going to be pretty much finishing up with this verse also, but the mindset of 1 Corinthians 15:33 is evil company, it tells us not to be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits or good morals, or bad company, as some translations, ruins good morals. And it's just a mindset that we need to understand that if we're around the wrong people and we're continuously allowing their influence to be on us, that influence can rub off, will rub off, and it causes us to lose the good morals that we're supposed to have in God. And so I want to start off the lesson this morning and bring out another point that we're not supposed to be like the rest of the world. And that's what the world is doing. The world is continuously pressuring us to be like Him when we're supposed to be the opposite. We're not supposed to be part of this world. Starting off with Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, looking at verses 1 and 2, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so here, starting off with Romans 12, 1 and 2, it tells us that we're not supposed to be conformed to the rest of the world. That as we look at the rest of the world, we're supposed to somewhat stand out because we are transformed. Now, do we all look like humans and to the point that God created us all man and women? Yes, absolutely. But when it comes down to the details of how we dress and whether we're immodest or dressed modestly, and the way in which we speak, whether we speak with filthy language, and we go around cursing, and we lie all the time, or we tell the truth, and we speak well, and we do not go forth and swear all the time. There's a difference that is all. And the life choices that we make, and how we treat one another, about the respect we have for our leaders, and for those who are older than us, and the way we treat one another, our marriages, and the way we raise up our children. All those are going to start to stand out to the world that we are different. Because we are transformed by the will of God. We're not conformed to doing it the way the world does. It's going to
going about lying and wearing and saying that you're allowed to divorce every so many years, just remarry wherever, whenever, however you want to. And we're going to discipline our children because the Bible tells us to do that. We're going to raise them in the sight of the Lord. Encourage them to make that wise decision instead of just saying, well, I'll let my children make decisions if they want to. We're told to raise them up in this training and admonition of the Lord. And so we're going to stand out. The Bible, the Word of God tells us you will know them by their fruits, and we are supposed to stand out. We're not supposed to be like the rest of the world. In James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Here it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is an enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Making it clear again that you have to make a decision on whose side you are going to be on. Because it says if you are friends of the world, and again, not saying that we don't know anybody that's not a member of the Lord's church, because you have neighbors, you go to school, because you do have co-workers, and because we're supposed to be out there teaching them and shining the light to them to bring them to God, so we know the world. But we're not friends with the actions that they get caught up in. We're not in the same mindset as them. We don't have fellowship in the same beliefs. We don't believe it's okay to forsake Ethan. We don't believe that it's okay to be drunk, to do drugs, to go out and just live a life that you desire to live that does not line up with the Word of God. And so you have to choose, are you going to be friends of the world and get along with everybody, or choose to obey the Word of God and be a child of His, become brothers and sisters in Christ. We must put the love of the world behind us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2 and verse 15, where it tells us, do not love the world or the things of the world, because the love of the world is not God. The love of the world is not part of God. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life do not have things to do with being a Christian. With being a follower of Christ. So therefore, we cannot be caught up in being part of the world. But again, the world is constantly influencing us. As you're out in the world and you're just living life, or you're listening to the radio, or you're watching TV or a movie, it's always continuously putting the world's way first and trying to influence us. And thinking that it's okay. That it's all right to go down that path. And to do as you please. But again, in Romans 12, going back to that verse 1, that we are supposed to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That means it's not just any sacrifice. It's not just whatever you're willing to give, but the way God has told you to give your life in following in the footsteps of. So we must give ourselves over to the Lord. If you will turn along with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look at starting in verse 10. Proverbs 1, starting in verse 10. It says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. I mean, here's the fair warning. If they come to ask you to join them into sin and join them in doing these wrong things, do not go with them. Verse 11 says, if they say, come with us, let us lie and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Shiloh, let us swallow them alive, the whole like those who have gone down into the pit. We shall find the precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, you not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. and take away the life of its possessors. So do not go down this path. And again, the world makes it look good. The world makes it look fun. And they will entice you in any way in which they can. And again, the biggest thing of being left out, of not being part of, and not fitting in. Get so many brothers and sisters in Christ given in to these temptations. Because they just don't want to be made fun of, they just don't want to be left out. And the pressure is put on them because these are my friends, these are my equals, and it's what they are doing, so I'm going to do it with them. Because they also claim to be religious, and they are not condemned for doing these things. So watch your heart. How often that is the mindset of the world. We're supposed to be different. And just this week, I received a phone call about this text. So they called the building, but they didn't want to do it over the phone, and so messaged each other back and forth, but asking about marriage divorce. And from one standard, they're asking, told me that their faith was from Catholic thought, and wanted to know about our. The person was dating someone from the Church of Christ. And so, but, and it was just that, well, I'm straightforward. It's like, all right, I'll bring these verses out, but I want you to know my faith and what I'm going to teach you. Probably won't line up with what the Catholics teach. It's different. It's different than what other religions teach. But the question is, why is it different? Why do we stand out? Why? And so many get caught up in that mindset. Well, I just can't imagine God saying that I have to be alone. I can't imagine God saying that this would be wrong. I can't picture that. But it's because it's the world's standard. The world has always been telling us it's okay, and now all of a sudden it's going to say, oh, well, God says it can't. What? And then we have to come back to the Bible and confirm the truth. You have to make a choice of whether or not we're going to go along with the rest of the world and what other religions teach or what the Bible, what God has given to us. Make sure we put the Bible first, putting God first. In John chapter 17 and verse 11, John chapter 17 and verse 11, as Jesus is here and he's praying for those who follow him, John 17 verse 11, it says, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. So he's praying. He prays for his disciples that are there then. He prays for us, for those who are willing to believe upon what they have taught and written down for us. And so in verse 14 it says, I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from and he makes it clear, we can't leave this world, but we must be separate from it. We must be separate from it. We must stay away from the temptations that Satan has put out there for us. We cannot give in to what everybody else is doing just because it looks fun and it's what everybody else is doing. We can go to Matthew and we can study and see that Jesus says not many. Right? Enter in by that narrow gate, not the broad gate. Why? Because many go in by that broad one, that big one that is easy to walk through, but it leads to destruction. There are only few who enter in the narrow path, the narrow gate. Few who find it. We need to be part of the few than be part of the many. And so next point I want to bring out is that we can overcome peer pressure. We can, and we need to know how. The first thing that of overcoming it is knowing that we can, knowing that God will make sure that we can overcome it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. And any time we struggle in any temptation,
especially in mindset, well, I just don't know how to. I don't know how to tell them no. I just don't know how to tell them that I believe in Jesus, or tell them that doesn't line up with my faith, that I don't believe that homosexuality is okay, that I don't believe abortion is okay. You know, I'd rather just stay quiet and not start having problems. But when we're just quiet, we don't say anything, then people start to assume that you line up with them, because you have any honor. You haven't went forth and said that you don't believe in it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure." Here it brings out that he will make the escape. He will make a way in which you can overcome any temptation that comes to you. He will not allow you to bear more than you can take. So it doesn't matter how many friends, it doesn't matter how much of your family is caught up in sin, not caught up in coming to worship, and they're caught up in a different religion, different teaching. And it's that, and again, many get caught up in that mindset, well, I can't say that they're wrong. I can't go the other direction. I can't take the pressure of them getting on to me, of saying that I have condemned them. But God says we have a way of escape. And though sometimes, as we read here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 16, sometimes we feel alone. We feel as such that we're fighting these temptations, we're fighting this battle by ourselves. Says, "At my defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them." Here, Paul making that claim. He says, no one was there with me. Everybody has left. And so at one point, we're like, well, if I don't give in, if I don't go along with them, then I'm all by myself. Paul's not the first one to feel by himself, right? Certainly not the last. Again, go back to 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, "No temptation that is common to man." It's all been there. There's nothing new under the sun. And so everybody has temptations, and we don't all face the same one. But somebody, much like the somebody in this congregation, is still in his head, has went through what you've been. And if not here, then we go to other congregations. Brethren from somewhere have been through what you are going through. Something that we've all faced. And we see that again here in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. And 1 Peter 5 and verse 9 says, "Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world."
Just to remember that even if the world denies you, does not want to have part with you because you won't participate in swearing and filthy jokes and dressing immodestly and going places that you shouldn't be and being drunks. Or because you won't go with them on Sunday because you know you have to be at worship.
Know that brethren throughout the world are going through the same thing. That they also face these temptations, this pressure by the world to give in, to be like them, rather being transformed and being a holy sacrifice to God. That we can overcome these temptations as others have and others are doing so. Why is it so important that we make friends and that we understand that we are a family here with each other to help each other to overcome these temptations? Remember that Christ is always there for us. Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Again, how easy it is to get temptation when things are so rough and hard. As Paul is writing about, he is content whether he's hungry or full, whether he's thirsty or he has a glass of water, whether he's in prison or free. But it's so much more difficult to overcome those temptations when you're starving, you're tempted, well, I'm going to do what I have to do to get some food. Or when you're in prison for something that you've done no wrong but teach the Word of God. Well, there's the opportunity and all that opportunity to escape. You know, he's never let the other try to escape. He makes sure that others didn't escape. And in prison, the gates open wide, and here they are. They have the opportunity to leave. Instead, they stay and save the jailer.
Temptation is hard, but Christ is there for us. When you feel alone and you may not know who in the brethren to turn to the time, we can always go to the Lord and Savior. We can always go to God in prayer. We can always open up the Bible and search for the Scriptures. Sometimes it's a matter of just abstaining and staying away from the temptation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 22, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 22. Here he says, abstain from every form of evil. Just stay away from it.
To an extent, we can't take ourselves out of the world. I know that. But there's also certain things that we can keep from. Yes, you have to go to work, so therefore you don't get to choose who your co-workers are. You have to go to school, and you can't choose who your classmates are. What you do after work, what you do after school, who you put yourself around, who you invite over into your home, whose houses you're willing to go over to. If you're always going around with those who are not brothers and sisters of Christ, always having others who are not brothers. Again, not that you can't do that, but if you're never inviting your brethren who are a good influence on you, and always around those who are not good influences, who are not going to encourage you,
Stay away from, flee from youthful lusts in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22.
Take the example of Joseph when he was found in the house by himself and she grabs hold of him, he just ran out. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not even going to stand here and try to say I can just resist by standing here. He ran out of that. Flee. Flee from situations that are going to put you in a bad temptation. Saying, well, I can go to the party where everybody else is drinking and I won't drink. I can stand in the crowd where everybody is telling guilty jokes, swearing one word after another, and I won't cuss. I can go and do these things and not get caught up in it. I can go and stand on the beach where everybody's half naked, more naked and not get caught up in lust. Again, if we don't put ourselves in temptation, if we stay away from situations we know that are going to be bad. Again, it's avoidable. As much as possible, that depends on you. Stay away from it. Flee from it. Have no part with it. Again, evil company corrupts those good morals. I want to finish off with a point. I understand that, I don't know that I want to call this, but good peer pressure. Because we're all supposed to be influencing one another. And I think there's a matter of teaching, but if you ask some of the brethren here, they might say, I'll try to pressure them, stepping up and leading songs, or stepping up and doing more in services, especially the younger men that just obey the gospel as they maybe just leave prayers right now, continue every month. Got to make a new duty list and see what they're willing to step up and do more of. You might say it's a little bit of peer pressure. But there is good peer pressure. Surrounding ourselves by those who do good, make sure that we do our part in encouraging others to obey the gospel. Doing our part to make sure that they go forth and understand the truth. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, when he tells them to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that he has commanded them. To an extent, we have our part of teaching. Also, we got our friends. We got brothers and sisters in Christ that we are influencing. And it might eventually come to more than just teaching them, but a little bit of pressure, a little bit of a nudge, trying to encourage them to continue to go down the right road.
to step up and help in the work of God?
Again, when it comes down to it, it has to be their own decision. They can't do it just because they were pressured into doing it, because that's what everybody was telling them to do, because mom and dad are always on top of them, because my friends are all just obeying the gospel. Why do you obey the gospel? It has to be a true faith and true heart in the right place, but it's the good influences that we need to be setting for one another and helping each other continue faithfully in the Word of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and looking at verses 14 and 15 again, any who might hold with, since if anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Again, Matthew 18, verse 15, you know, the brothers sit against you, go with Thomas Paul. You read further down, you get to 16 and 17. And that we would draw and treat him as a heathen and tax collector. And again, yes, it's teaching, and it's biblically following discipline, but it's also a little bit of peer pressure, right? It's a little bit of saying, well, if you're not going to do what we do, if you're not going to follow God, then we're not going to hang out. You're not welcome over during dinner. You can't come over when we're having a big get-together and pop up, unless you're going to make your life right with God, because we don't tolerate those who are in an unlawful marriage. Because God doesn't. And we're not going to allow you to come and dress in modestly, or we're not going to allow you to come and swear and curse and lie. You have to make your life right with God. And again, so that they'd be ashamed. And that's what the world does to us. They make you feel bad for not doing what they're doing. They make you feel bad and make fun of you, and you feel bad because you don't dress like everybody else. Because you don't talk like everybody else. Because you don't go hang out with them when they're at the mall or they're at the game or they're doing this. You're here at worship. They pressure you, making you feel bad and ashamed for not giving in and being with them and making them, you're saying I'm a bad person because I do this. That's what we're supposed to make you feel bad if they're continuously in sin. Influencing them to obey the gospel and come back. And as Matthew 18, 15 says, you gain a brother back. That is our goal. That is our desire. The Word of God tells us it has everything we need in it for teaching, for proof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So we need to make sure that we're setting the good influence, that we're setting good peer pressure for them to obey the gospel. Again, influence them to do good work. As James chapter 2, again, starting verse 14 through 26, faith without works is dead. So we encourage brethren to step up and teach Bible class. To step up and preach a lesson. Step up and lead songs. And lead the Lord's Supper. To maybe just help out around the church building and cleaning or trimming the bushes or whatever maintenance needs to be done. Say, hey, can you help out? Can you step up? Pressure to do good work. Can you go visit and check on so-and-so? The question is who do you surround yourself with? Is evil company corrupt good morals? But if you're around brothers and sisters in Christ that are faithful to God, then we can influence each other and shine light to each other and encourage each other to continue that faithful life. Treating these others as brothers and sisters, older men as fathers, older women as mothers. Being a family, knowing that we're always there for them. So we don't leave without extending the Lord's invitation, encouraging any who are here that have not yet obeyed the gospel to do so, to be baptized, to wash your sins away. And if you're here and you need first congregation, if there's anything we can do, let it be known.
Well, okay.